Hey guys, are you looking for a sports book that you can trust? Well, look no further than mybookie.ag, where you can get a 50% match on your initial deposit of up to $1,000 when you use promo code DFSArmy. As a bonus, when you use promo code DFSArmy, you also get a free month of DFSArmy VIP and DFSArmy Beat the Bookie membership. That's a $100 combined value. So we'll help you with your daily fantasy sports, and we'll help you with your handicapping free when you sign up for mybookie.ag using promo code DFSArmy.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Guys, and welcome to another edition of the Taco Tuesday PGA DFS podcast, presented to you by DFSArmy.com. This week we'll be headed to Palm Springs, Florida for the beginning of the Florida swing of the PGA Tour season. We'll be right down the road from Tiger Woods' hometown, Jupiter, Florida. Unfortunately, he's not in the field. It's kind of a weaker field overall, but we still got some really big names in the tournament. Should be a pretty interesting one. This is where we saw a lot of the European guys, like Fleetwood and the like, all make the exodus over for the Florida swing. But we actually saw a bunch of them kind of start early and hop over here around like Waste Management, Phoenix Open, Farmers Open and stuff. But this tournament will be a pretty unique one. We saw things get really, really bad last year with the weather. The scores were quite awful. And this is one of the harder courses that we go to on the PGA Tour. And before I break down the course a little bit, gotta let you know that if you join us at DFSArmy.com, using the link in the description, you can get access to all of our premium daily fantasy sports content for golf, basketball, baseball is coming up here soon. You got the spring training starting here in a little bit. NASCAR's in full swing. Basketball, of course, still going on. You get access to all content for all sports for one low price. You'll definitely want to check us out. You'll get access to the research station that I'll be referencing throughout the pod. And, of course, our domination station, Lineup Optimizer, to help you generate tons of lineups pretty easily. Again, link in the description. Promo code TACO will get you a lifetime 20% off. So you'll definitely want to get in there, see what we've got going on. It's a very good deal. So, PGA National. That's where we'll be headed for the Honda Classic here. Just checking out the tournament, it's pretty apparent that it's a very, very, very tough course. It has a lot of signifying factors. It's a 7,140 yard par 70, so it's fairly long for a par 70 course. The greens are slow, a pretty firm Bermuda grass greens, and the course is just incredibly tough. Almost every single hole has water in play. That is the huge thing here. The thing that the course is just the worst for is double bogeys. Guys see about 0.6 double bogeys per round, which is a pretty astonishing number. The only courses we've seen recently that had a higher number than that was like a Royal Troon Golf Club that they played in Scotland for the Open, and Oakmont for the U.S. Open, which of course is, I mean, those are just daunting courses. And last year we saw the average score here was over 2 strokes over par. It's significantly harder than your average course. There really are only a handful of courses like that where the scores are so drastic. And while usually it plays about a stroke and a half over par or so, that's still significant, you know. it wasn't just last year where we saw the really low scores. We saw in 2016 the double bogey rate was just insane. The bogey rate as well. But the double bogeys are worse. It's going to be kind of a huge key. One of the bigger stats that's actually a unique stat to us at the DFS Army, you can't find publicly, is double bogey avoidance or double bogey or worse percentage. And that's going to come into play huge here. You know, last week we were in Mexico, we really didn't care about things like made cut percentage, double bogey avoidance and consistency and stats like that. You really just wanted the upside, the birdie making. Well, this is last week with a complete 180. It's a very, very, very different strategy. And you will notice a difference in scoring between sites. Something I've found just from running the numbers so far, the difference in scoring between the two sites, FanDuel and DraftKings, is in these low scoring tournaments, FanDuel scoring is significantly lower than DraftKings scoring. Last year, you know, guys were averaging around 30 fantasy points on FanDuel compared to almost 40 fantasy points on DraftKings, which is incredibly low, just absolutely incredibly low. But one thing I've noticed also is, you know, last week, and especially we see it at no cut events, especially like the CIMB Classic and the CJ Cup, FanDuel players actually scored more than the players on DraftKings. It's really unique. Whenever you get no cut events or really high scoring events, easy courses, FanDuel scoring is right there with DraftKings, if not even better. As where at courses like this, you are going to see really low scores over there in FanDuel, so it is something to keep in mind. It may seem a little weird how low everyone's projections are this week, but there is a reason for that. It's an incredibly tough course. So, like I was saying, of all courses that are active on the PGA Tour, this one gives up the most double bogeys. We also see one of the lowest amounts of birdies per round, and also eagles per round. There are only two par fives, and I expect the eagle numbers to go even lower. You know, a few years ago, we only saw six eagles in the entire tournament. Might be less this year, because one of the two par fives on this course was extended from about 540 or 550 yards to over 600. And that's the final hole 18. And so, you know, just making a hard course even harder. Although the weather probably won't be as much of a concern this year. Seeing some, you know, some showers maybe possible on Friday and on Sunday. But we'll have to see as we get closer to the tournament to see if there's any, you know, real weather effects we have to worry about. The wind seems really tame, so I expect scores to rise from last year, certainly. But you know, this has been a less than driver course for the most part. The greens and regulation percentage is usually on the lower side. I know last year it was incredibly hard to hit these greens. One of the lowest marks we saw in the entire season. And when running the correlations between season-long average stats from the players that played in the tournament to their fantasy point scoring in the tournament, last week, you know, that really, really singled out strokes gained off the tee. You know, that actually rated out number one for any course, which I thought was pretty weird. You know, it made a little bit of sense, but I didn't expect it to come out number one of all courses at Mexico last week. But then you look at who won and who came in second, Rory and DJ, literally the two best golfers in this generation at strokes gained off the tee. I mean, you know, the research is in the right spot there. And this week it's pretty much telling us that pretty much every stat comes in under average, you know. Just compared to all the other tournaments, the only thing that's correlates in slightly, I mean slightly above average, is greens regulation percentage. And that's something we've seen here in the past. Greens regulation percentage and stroke gained approach is always going to be important, but The driver kind of definitely a lot less of a factor than last week. We're going to want to sort of go for accuracy, guys, but really off the tee stuff isn't going to be terribly important. You're going to be clubbing down a lot. There are some short par fours on the course, but they're not drivable. Most of them have a strong incentive for you to club down, as there's a lot of space between the end of the fairway and the green. So can't really be taking the aggressive drives, and you know, accuracy is going to matter so much, especially with your approach shots, because of all the water. Water is on play, or in play, on almost every single hole on the golf course. Can't really stress that enough. If you go to the Honda Classics website, they have an amazing course breakdown, and you can just see a map of the course, and the par threes especially, just got so much water in play, and that's obviously the reason for the high double bogey averages, and it will add a lot of variance. I think this is a very high variance week. I would love to fade the chalky golfers here more than I would an average week, because the tournament just screams variance, variance, variance to me, especially if there's any weather in the works here. And you can see by going through people's course history that while there are some guys who have consistently done pretty well here, it's very common to see guys like, for example, Charles Schwartzel finish top 10 here 2 years in a row, and then finish almost last the 2 years after that. It seems like guys are going to be less safe than usual, and pretty much anyone's in anyone at any time on any hole pretty much is in danger of posting a snowman, posting a huge number, double bogeys, triple bogeys, quad bogeys, Kevin Na 16s. Well, I don't know about that one, but you know, these things are on the table at an event like this. It's very tough. If you look at the fantasy scoring tab and just go look at the types of holes that are on the course, you've got one short par three and three long ones. The long par threes are quite long, like well over 200 yards, some with water in play. So I think that's going to be a key range, honestly. I don't want golfers I go in on to be really bad at that range. And it kind of also lends itself to a long iron play. Although I see the biggest difference in the approach shot distances from the 175 to 200 yard range. But I think those stats can be a little bit, I don't know about misleading, but a little bit overblown, I think. I don't think they correlate very high, honestly. The par fours, there are three short par fours, four medium length par fours, and five long par fours, but there's one hole that's right in the middle of the 450 yard benchmark that I used to separate medium and long par fours. It's literally exactly 450 yards, so we can go either way. Medium and long par fours, and short par fours. Obviously, par four scoring is huge on a par 70 because you just get more of them than you do at a normal course, and it's a pretty darn good spread all around. So you'll want to be good at all of the different par four distance splits, but I guess it's a little bit better to be good at the longer ones. They should play a little bit longer with guys clubbing down, and the course plays a lot longer than its distance, just due to how safe you have to be, because in a lot of spots the rough is just replaced with a beach. So that's something we'll see a lot come the this Florida swing here. We see a lot more water in play. The West Coast courses were easier in general, usually very easy to score on. You see bombers courses out there, and in the Florida swing, the East Coast swing, you tend to see, just harder courses, more water, lots of Bermuda grass greens, and, just stronger fields overall as it ramps up towards major season. Not really this event really doesn't have the strongest field going on for itself. It's a bit of a weaker event, but we'll see some really strong fields come the Arnold Palmer, the players, obviously, and we'll have some really good tournaments going on through the next few weeks here as we go through Florida. Now, back to the correlations I had mentioned earlier, the one thing that did stick out to me was this event was pretty much dead last in strokes gained around the green correlation. There was none, absolutely no correlation whatsoever between season-long strokes gained around the green and fantasy point scoring here. And that's going back several years. So you can pretty much ignore it and maybe even play some guys who are kind of crappy around the green. Though I would look to guys that do decent in sand because there are a ton of bunkers. And, you know, bunkers are just another thing that add to the inconsistency and the high variance style of this course. In the field rank splits, the only extra one I added this week was hard courses, because that seems like a really, really solid corollary there. And I did throw one more field rank split up, just going over the last 8 weeks, the last eight tournaments played. You know, before I had last 15 as the most short-term one. But guys have been playing so consistently now, it's definitely time to add the last 8 week split. Most people have at least a few tournaments played, so it should give you some good data there. Found 8 to be the right number. So, again, just going over the basic strategy that we're looking at for this course, and what we're looking for statistically. If you go on the main section, DraftKings or FanDuel, depending on what site you play, of course you want good form coming in, but, you know, the change in scenery may be a bit of help for people. I don't want to overrate the people that did well at Puerto Rico last week. As you can tell, it was a super, super weak course, or weak field, the weakest since the Corrales Punta Canas event in the Dominican Republic last year, which was played alongside of a WGC as well. If not a WGC, I think it was a major, but you know how those kind of events are, the secondary alternate fields are just incredibly weak, and last week, oh man, was that field weak. I had said when I was looking through the players that it might have been the weakest field I'd ever seen. And there was only a handful of decent players, and they were all incredibly chalky on FanDuel or on DraftKings. And they were the only ones that did decently as well, like the chalk hit and everything. So it was just an awful, ugly event. Pretty much a web.com tour event, so you might not want to overrate the results from Puerto Rico, but I would also not overrate the results from WGC Mexico last week. Guys were hitting with driver constantly. Like Rory had, what was in the final round, he had 12 drives of over 340 yards. I think that's what the stat was, just something incredible like that. And it's not going to be the case really this week. Gonna want to focus more on drive placements. So, yeah. Again, the focus, definitely want to look at double bogey avoidance. Gonna be a key stat this week, I think, more than any other week. And that's a really awesome tool to have there. Not gonna focus as much on birdies gained, fantasy points gained. Again, it's just the total opposite of last week. Strokes gained off the tee, not a huge deal. Around the green, doesn't matter at all. Putting, I would look at some Bermuda splits, but I'm still, you know, whenever you have slower Bermuda greens, your good putters do tend to do better than, you know, when we're putting on Poa or Rye or other putting surfaces that add to the variance. And we also see that when there's a high stimp meter rating, like 12, 13 tournament stimps, but this is just an 11 on the stimp meter, nothing crazy. I think your decent putters will be all right, but again, we're not going to look too much at that. We're really going to focus on strokes gained approach, and just safe, really safe stats, getting guys through the cut and fading ownership. I can't really stress that enough this week. If anyone's going to be over 30% owned, like Fleetwood was last week, then they are just an instant fade for me. It's how it's going to work here. Just way too much variance, way too hard to predict who is going to do well here. You know, our winner last year, Justin Thomas, missed the cut in 2015 and finished T71 in 2017, but third in 2016. I mean, things are wild. We saw Ricky Fowler win 2 years ago and then missed the cut last year. You know, this is just, you know, it's one of the more high variance full field cut events that we've seen. It's not exactly a full field. It's a 144 field, not a 156, but still full field. Fade that chalk, but I'd target the consistent players. In the field rank splits, you can see consistency ratings. If you're putting up a really high number in that stat, it means you're kind of all over the place. You know, pair that with a really high double bogey percentage and some questionable approach game, it's not going to make me like you this week. I'm really going to target the safe guys. I'm going to try as much as I can to get 6 out of 6 through the cut without playing major chalk. That is, again, that's just going to be key. So that's pretty much my strategy for the week. Maybe some other stats I'd look at are in the field rank splits settings or section. You got the top 50% rate, or the percentage of time a guy's finished in the top 50% of the field. It's really good for, you know, another stat to use alongside a made cut percentage, just to make sure guys are doing better than average. And you want some decent form coming in, but I've also found that ownership seems to be very highly dependent on who currently has a good streak of made cuts coming in. I found that to be highly indicative of ownership. And if a person has been doing really well and has like one missed cut, then that makes them makes their ownership drop insane, like insanely. I'm going to be targeting guys that have been playing really well and are just coming off of a missed cut or something, or just disappointed people last week, especially if they got chalky. That's going to be a strategy that I incorporate into my lineup building a lot this week. So, before I hop into the field here and go over, the studs in this event, just going to take a quick word from my sponsors. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.
All right, so at the very top of the field, once again, we've got Justin Thomas, $11,900, 13K on FanDuel. Incredibly expensive, but not only is he the defending champion here, he's 5-1, which is really, 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 really small number there. You know, when I always talk about if you guys are on 12K, you really want them to be around 5-1, 6-1. We saw him last week almost at this price, and he was like 8-1, 9-1 with guys like Dustin Johnson in the field. So didn't make quite as much sense to play him, but he still did well with the top 10 finish last week. Now, Justin Thomas is just the most consistent player in golf, arguably the best golfer currently. I'd still give a slight edge to Rose, but it's really hard to ignore how brilliant Thomas has been over the last year. Made 93% of his cuts, 95% of the time finishing in the top 50% of fields, 86% of the time finishing in the top 25% of fields, by far the best of anyone in this field. You know, just killing it. killing it all year long in strokes gained approach. Over his last 50 rounds, he almost averages an entire stroke gained approach. Just immaculate numbers there. Really consistent. Not much more that can be said about Justin Thomas. He, you know, of all the other studs, anyone 10K and above, they all double bogey at 2.2% or more or higher rate. And Justin Thomas is right there at 1.8%. Just better than the field at that. But, you know, we had seen him with that incredibly long streak of two putts or better, you know, three putt avoidance. And then when he was blowing up at the Genesis to choke that tournament away in the fourth round, we saw him repeatedly three putt, like over and over. I think he had three in five holes or something. So it's a little bit of a concern, but that was on POA. We're on Bermuda grass now. And, you know, there's not really a split with him. He kind of putts just slightly above average pretty much everywhere. But if you look to last week just to see how his putting came along, it was average until the third round. He lost about five strokes putting. So it was looking like his fourth round at the Genesis all over again, but had a solid fourth round to turn that around, gained three strokes putting. So his putting is, it's been wildly inconsistent, but we've seen him gain, you know, almost like at the Genesis to start off, he gained in the second round, he gained seven strokes putting. And then, you know, since then we've seen rounds where he's lost three and lost five strokes putting. It's all over the place. You know, his putting is wildly inconsistent right now, but you can't really say the same about his approach game. It was off the tee game, really. He shined off the tee last week, and, you know, that was huge. His approach game didn't really come in until the fourth round there, but, you know, his approach game has been his bread and butter for how long now, and he just kills all of the par four splits that we have. Second and medium length par four scoring, fourth in long par four scoring. Just really good numbers there. First in both projected round score. One of the only guys that projects under par with how this course is set up. And then, you know, by far number one in projected fantasy points per round on both FanDuel and on DraftKings. You know, gains a ton of birdies to the field as it is while avoiding the bogeys. I feel like he should be chalk. He just projects so much higher than everyone else. And 5-1 is really a crazy line to see him at. So you have to pay up for him. But it's pretty much worth it. The dude is the class of the field, bar none. So, yeah, moving to Ricky Fowler here. $11,200. 11-9 on FanDuel. Again, won here 2 years ago. It really has good consistent results here. Just missed the cut last year. He does get into some, you know, some trouble with the double bogeys and all that. We see that with a lot of the other studs up in this range, but you know, it's coming off the win at Waste Management, another course he does well at. And yeah, just you know, he's coming in ranked second in projected round score and third in fantasy point scoring. A few seasons ago, actually, I think, not last year, the year before, and he finished sixth here. That season, I think he ranked number one of all golfers in bogey avoidance, actually. You know, he used to be quite good at avoiding bogeys, but, you know, throughout his career, we have seen him take some really high numbers. Some very unfortunate timing with that, but you know, I don't see Fowler being very popular at all. He was so incredibly low owned last week coming off the win. We kind of noticed that with Phil too. I'm not sure what it is with people coming off of wins and then just getting single digit ownership. It's been a recurring theme for a while now. People just don't like playing people off of miscuts. And or not, well, they hate playing him off of miscuts, but for some reason they also like, they don't like playing him off of wins. And you know, we don't see people win back to back all too often. I've seen it happen a few times a few years ago. Jason Day was doing that. I think Dustin Johnson, Adam Scott, we saw, if I recall correctly, I think Charles Schwartzel and Graham McDowell also won back to back events like during the swing season or something, but it's really something that we haven't seen in a while. Actually, I think in 2016, this was the one that Scott won. That was a back-to-back. Don't quote me exactly. I think it was he won Doral the week before or the week after this. I don't know. The schedule used to be different, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So with Fowler here, you know, just not quite as good of a play. You know, strokes gained approach is there, but it's not nearly as consistent as Justin Thomas's. And recently, it's actually fallen off quite a bit. He actually putts significantly better on other surfaces than Bermuda. So, you know, just has some history here. Of course, has won, but, you know, 10-1, paid 11-2 for that. And not really seeing line movement or anything. Just not the strongest play rating out for me, but there's a chance that he could be incredibly low owned like we saw last week. I guess not so much with his history and winning here. And, you know, we see a lot of people game log, and people don't really get punished enough for doing poorly at no-cut events. They'll see he finished 36, and there's still some people that just see the number 36 and think that's okay. But out of 71 golfers, that's literally average right there. Just not really feeling the play too much. Either site, really. So expensive over there on FanDuel. And he's someone that's been historically underpriced on FanDuel. So, just not the best price point for him, I'd say. You know, I liked him a lot better when he was being underpriced in the 9Ks. But in this field, it's quite obvious that he's one of the better guys in this field. So, you can have shares. But I'm not too huge on Ricky this week. We also have Brooks Koepka making his American debut on the season. He made his PGA Tour debut last week at the WGC Mexico event, finishing T27. Nothing too interesting there. He's a little bit cheaper than Ricky Fowler, and this is where it gets kind of interesting. He's ranked third in the projected round scores, but ranked second in projected fantasy points per round. So it kind of tells you a little bit of the story there with Koepka and Fowler. You know, Fowler's going to put up some more fantasy points, but Fowler is going to be safer. And we've seen some negative line movement with Brooks right now. I'm not sure why. He's the only person $8,600 or more that's going backwards in the odds books. But it's nothing too huge right now. We'll see how it moves throughout the week. But right now he's dropped from, what is it? He was 11 to 1, 12 to 1 to start the week. And now he's at 13 to 1. Some to eyeball there, but he's also not going to be very popular. Last week's performance isn't going to do much for him. On DraftKings, they have his results from the European Tour and his game log, and those weren't impressive. Missed the cut really badly last year. Finished 133rd out of 144 golfers. Yeah, and other than that, no finish better than T26. Also, he's going to be lower owned than Fowler even, and you know, in GPP, I understand making the play there. I mean, he's Brooks Koepka. Brooks won multiple majors last season. So, if something we are looking at with the hard course splits, you know, a lot of these hard courses are going to be like, you know, the U.S. Open and courses like that. You know, the Open Championship, something we'll look to. Because they're somewhat similar, just really hard. Of course, the U.S. Open is like twice as hard as this course. You know, this course played 2.5 strokes over par last year, but the U.S. Open played like 4.5 strokes over par. And that's about as bad as it's going to get. But you only see like 4 or 5 courses over the course of the whole year that play even more than half a stroke over par. You know, most courses are right around, they shoot right around par, if not slightly under, just on average. So, the people have scored really well at those hard courses. Koepka especially, you know, with the just the majors are just a really nice thing to have on there. And you throw in the low ownership with all this variance, I mean, I really don't mind the play much at all. Justin Thomas is going to be high owned, but I don't even mind making that play just because he is so rock solid and consistent. But, you know, Fowler always gets a little more popular than he needs to be. I don't really feel like going in too much there. Koepka doesn't rate out as well, but if the ownership's going to be crazy low, which I suspect it might be a good shot to take a GPP shot at, but not going too huge on him either way. Now, get your first real course horse here. And Adam Scott finished top 13 in his last four tries here since 2014. Winner in 2016. Just incredibly consistent results here. And we've seen him put up some solid results over the last few weeks. Runner-up at the Farmers Insurance Open. And seventh at the Genesis Open, where we saw him most recently. Kind of weird to not see him at the WGC Mexico event. But, you know, it's weird to see how Scott has fallen out of being among the elites of the world, but we're kind of seeing him claw back into form there. It's not through his iron play like it always was before, though. He's really been quite well-rounded. If anything, he's been putting better than anything, if that makes much sense. You know, for a guy that, you know, one of the refugees of the long stick, we've seen the same thing even more so with Webb Simpson. Those guys are forced off of the long belly putter and they'll learn how to putt normally. It turns out they can actually putt pretty decently once they quit messing around with the big sticks, but you know, that came after a lot of initial struggles. I think that's really what threw Scott off his game. That was one of the major things there. You know, we saw he used to just be among the elites, and he truly was elite because he was, for multiple years, he was the leader in strokes gained approach and proximity to the hole and greens regulation, all that just across the board on the PGA Tour. And then he had to, you know, really start honing in on his putter. He was one of the guys to stop using the long stick a little bit early before his ban, and it kind of really threw his game around in the following years. And, you know, maybe this is sort of a reverse Spieth sort of deal. You know, a Spieth could do like his short game, especially his putting, was just elite. And then he started to focus on being a better driver and, you know, hitting better irons. And we kind of saw that last year where, yeah, he improved on those things, but he lost out on what he was great at, which was putting and short game. And that has not recovered since. And he's doing quite badly now. And I think we sort of saw that with Adam Scott just in reverse. He had elite tier irons. Irons that we had almost never seen before. Like, he was right there with Henrik Stenson as being, like, the best. Just the best. And, you know, this is just theorizing. I don't know if this is exactly what happened. You know, there may be more factors to this, but, you know, he had to focus so much on putting. His approach game just kind of escaped him, is what seems like happened. But still, this is a place where he's obviously super comfortable at. And you know, his strong approach game, that's probably what led him to a lot of his success here. But even in 2017, last year in 2018, when he was struggling, this is still a place where he was able to post solid results at. So, on FanDuel, his price is quite generous. It has been for the last several weeks. Their algorithm just does not, it really does not give guys chops for very, very long term accomplishments like DraftKings does. You know, DraftKings, just, you know, you can tell they look a little bit farther back when running their algorithm, and it's a little more in depth than FanDuel's, I think. But Scott's been underpriced. Like, he was, you know, last time we saw him at the Genesis Open, he was incredibly underpriced, one of the highest owned players. I rated out as our highest projected value and all that, and it's a little bit better this week, but he's almost, you know, the same DraftKings and FanDuel price up top, which is kind of crazy. But 10-3 on DraftKings is kind of pushing it. It's more expensive than Sergio, and they're right there at the same odds at 15-1. So, yeah, I'd rather get him on FanDuel. And if you look to the If you look to the scoring, see, he rates out 15th in projected round score, but 24th in projected DraftKings points per round. Look at that on FanDuel, and he ranks 15th in projected round scoring again, but 29th in projected fantasy points per round. You can kind of cross-reference these things and see who scores better on what site. A good example, a guy who I wish was in the field this week, is Charles Howell III. So he has like the lowest double bogey percentage of like any golfer, and I just ran some analysis, guys, FanDuel scoring versus their DraftKings scoring, and oh, hello, cops. No, not for me. But see, I ran the FanDuel scoring versus DraftKings scoring to see who's helped and hurt most by the differences in the sites, and Charles Howell the third, he's a little old, but CH3, he rated out as the guy that's helped the most by FanDuel scoring. So again, another difference between FanDuel and DraftKings. Like, if you're playing FanDuel, you really want to hone in on the double bogey avoidance stat. It is just key. Guys like Jim Furyk, guys that don't put up, you know, birdies and eagles, but guys that save par, guys that avoid bogeys and double bogeys, which are punished extra hard on FanDuel, resulting in the scoring differences that we've seen historically at harder courses. Yeah, you're going to want to target the safer guys, especially on FanDuel. DraftKings, you have a little bit more leniency to be able to pick guys who will eagle. You know, they give you a little bit more of an eagle bonus over there on DraftKings, although eagles are very rare here. And you know, avoiding bogey is going to matter a little bit more on FanDuel, but still going to be huge on DraftKings. Just that is the king of all things over there on FanDuel this week, is just finding guys who will avoid the bogeys and double bogeys because they get that extra punishment. And of course you want to make the cut. That's just goes without saying. Although we saw last week, and we might definitely see it this week, there might be some guys you do not want to make the cut because they just score so poorly. Who was it? I can't remember who just, I don't remember off the top of my head. There was someone that just absolutely blew up. I think it was actually 2 weeks ago is what I was thinking was. Yeah, I think it was 2 weeks ago at the Genesis. I think it was Adam Hadwin who had made the cut, and he was better off just not making the cut because after the cut, he did nothing but just like blow up and go bogey, bogey, bogey. You might see that for sure this week, especially if you find guys that you don't get punished much more for posting an 8 than you do like a 6 on a par 4. You know, double bogeys, triple bogeys, quadruple bogeys, all the same. But of course, it's gonna hurt you on the scoreboard and the leaderboard, and you know, with making the cut and all that. But the guys who will consistently be double bogeying and bogeying and stuff, that's what's going to really, really hurt you this week. So yeah, just you can be like Fowler and just occasionally post like really big numbers on holes, and you can get away with that. We saw Adam Scott actually win this thing in 2016 despite a quadruple bogey towards the end there. But you just don't want the guys who are going to constantly be finding troubles at. Like, there's a reason that Phil Mickelson is not in this field. You know, there is a darn good reason. He even said himself he's only signing up for the tournaments that he feels like he has a chance of winning at. And this is definitely not one of them. This is not a course for Phil Mickelson's. You see a lot of the other bigger, bomber, more aggressive type guys skipping with more of the accuracy sort of guys taking the challenge this week. So yeah, Adam Scott, you can play him. I'm not too thrilled about him, really. Doesn't rate out nearly as well on hard courses as the first three guys I talked about do. It's actually something that, you know, another thing that kind of helps Koepka out there a little bit. He actually rates out a little bit better in field rank than Thomas does at hard courses, mostly because of his major wins there. Yeah, Scott's just kind of a step below these three studs up there, but he's a little cheaper, especially on FanDuel. Just good FanDuel cash play. DraftKings, I'd play him in GPP, you know, I don't know about cash, just too expensive for cash over there on DraftKings. So we go to Sergio, just such an interesting case right now. He started off the season decently, He's made two cuts. Well, made the one cut at the Genesis, finished T37, which is okay, but six last week. You know, if there was a cut, he would have made that. Really good performance from last week. And if you look at how he did it, it was stroke scanned approach. It was great. And Sergio is another guy that historically has been up there with Scott. He was one of the better stroke scanned approach specialists. And that part of his game really has continued on, even into now. It's not nearly as consistent as Justin Thomas's, but his numbers are still pretty darn high. Gains about 2/3 of a stroke approach over his last 50 rounds. By far the best thing he's got going for him. Has been putting okay. His long-term stats are just abysmal. They're awful. He had a horrible season last year. Made 40% of his cuts. Just not good, not good, not good. And his double bogey avoidance. This might be what kills him. It's like 3%. It's not good. Really, ever since that blow-up at the Masters, it's just been tragic for him. But he had another blow-up in Saudi Arabia. I guess he got his anger out or something. He's been playing fine ever since. Had always been playing fine in Europe, and Sergio is one of those guys. I definitely have him circled as a guy that when he does well at a course, he does well at a course. It's a reason I've got my eye on Sergio this week for sure. He's not going to come in with lower ownership. I think people are going to be akin to him, but his history here is great. Last 5 years, made the cut, finish no worse than T33, which was his finish last year. Runner-up to Scott in 2016. 8th in 2014, tied with Scott in 2017, both finished T14 there. You know, so I kind of expect similar results of these two. They've got the exact same odds to win at 15-1. Sergio's just a little cheaper. Not on FanDuel. FanDuel is like $400 more. On DraftKings, he's cheaper, so the play seems kind of obvious there, playing on DraftKings. But I would even still get some on FanDuel, just GPP only. I would want to call him cash safe, but I can't condone a guy who missed 60% of his cuts last year. That's not going to happen. So yeah, those are the 10K guys, and we're going to go into a deep dive into this player pool here for you VIP DFS Army members here in just a minute. And if you would like to get access to the full pod and all of our tools and the research station, domination station, all that, check us out. Link in the description, dfsarmy.com, and sign up with promo code TACO for a lifetime 20% off discount. And for you VIP members, I'll be right back. For the rest of you guys, I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as the secret to unlocking a new level to your game.
Hey guys, are you looking for a sports book that you can trust? Well, look no further than mybookie.ag, where you can get a 50% match on your initial deposit of up to $1,000 when you use promo code DFSArmy. As a bonus, when you use promo code DFSArmy, you also get a free month of DFSArmy VIP and DFSArmy Beat the Bookie membership. That's a $100 combined value. So we'll help you with your daily fantasy sports, and we'll help you with your handicapping free when you sign up for mybookie.ag using promo code DFSArmy.